Good morning and welcome to Faith Foundations. I'm back again because we have an additional treat just for you. We're going back in time to 1970, early 70s, at the very beginning of the broadcast ministry of this ministry here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Today's going to be awesome. Listen, if you are believing for healing in your body to be manifest in any way, whether it's in your mind or in your physical body or whatever it is, the Bible gives us a perfect prescription for healing. And Jesus, in his ministry, the Word of God says he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. So today, Brother Copeland is going to be exploring how Jesus operated in the healing ministry when he was in the earth and how the disciples followed that pattern in the early church. It's going to be phenomenal. But the biggest thing that I really want to talk about during this morning's program is this. I'm reminded of a scripture in Psalm 145 says, "One generation shall praise your name to another generation." This is literally Brother Copeland doing that, praising the name of God to this next generation of faith-filled believers who would take this uncompromised message of faith and preach it from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. You're a part of that fulfillment, the fulfillment of the Word of God that was given to Brother Copeland. I'm a part of that, and we get to see the roots of where that came from and how it was formulated in a program called Prayer Group. And it's interesting that this entire ministry is built on the foundation of prayer. So the very first broadcast of this ministry was Prayer Group. It all started in the place of prayer. I'm telling you this morning, there's going to be tremendous power coming, not just because it's a program called Prayer Group, but because we are taking a deep dive back into where it all started, where we all came out of in terms of being faith-filled believers, and really being able to focus in on the fact that the Word of God never changes. It never changes. It never shifts. The same message that you hear preached back in the early 70s, you're going to hear preached now with more fire. We have more revelation. We have more understanding. And the body of Christ is more mature because of the preaching of that message. And so we see we have more to stand on than we did back then. But that word is still the absolute Word of God. And it's the Word of God declaring he wants you well. Take a look at this from the early 70s, the very first broadcast of this ministry.
Just to think that God loves me.
Welcome to the Prayer Group with Kenneth Copeland. And now, Kenneth Copeland.
Well, I want you, all of you, during this session, before we get into prayer today, I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter. And let's discuss some things here from the Word of God before we pray. I want us to read starting with the 5th verse. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To another, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel." Well, thank God, Jesus is moved by faith. Now, if you want Jesus to marvel at your faith, then we need to find out what this man did and do what he did, and Jesus will marvel at your faith, because the Word says that he's no respecter of persons, and that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, there's certainly no difference in authority now than there was then. Is that right? I mean, the man said, you know, I recognize authority when I see it. I can see authority. I know what authority is all about. Well, now then he goes ahead and explains this kind of authority that he's talking about by saying, when I say to somebody, go, and he goes, I say to somebody, come, and he comes, I say, do this, and he does it. Well, now, there's certainly no difference in authority, is there? That still means the same thing. And he said, I recognize authority. So if you say the word, you don't even have to come down at my house. If you say the word only, this servant of mine will be healed. In other words, the disease that my servant is afflicted with is a slave to your words. Now, if words mean anything, that's what he said. He has said, I recognize authority, see. I know power and authority when I see it. And I know that that sickness and that disease is a slave to your word. Well, of course, he's talking about Jesus, isn't he?
Amen.
So these things are slaves to the Word of God. Do you remember what the Word said more than many times in the Old Covenant? Said God sent His Word and healed them. God put out His Word and it healed them. Well, thank God. The Word's no different. Authority is no different. Now, sickness and disease is no different. So that doesn't leave but one thing in this picture that could possibly be any different. And that's Jesus. Isn't that right? I mean, authority is no different. Sickness and disease is certainly not any different. And we can recognize right quick that the Word of God's no different, because, I mean, it's the same as it was when God spoke it. We have it there. Every one of you got a copy of it there in your lap, see? Okay, that just leaves Jesus. Now, is He any different? Not if the Bible's true, because the Bible said He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm already happy. Praise God. You know, anything happens from here on in when you get on the Word of God.
Amen.
Because this is where faith lies. Now, what I want to show you in this is this. This centurion has presented Jesus with this. I have faith in the sovereignty and in the authority of your word and it alone. I don't need anything else. The highest form of faith that exists is faith in the Word of God and its authority alone. That's the highest form of faith in existence, is faith in God's Word even before there is any physical evidence to prove to my physical senses that it is true. I believe it because God said it. Now, most serious Christians would dare believe God if Jesus walked up there in the flesh and told them that, you know, if he told them that my word says, that it says in my word, by my stripes you were healed. They'd believe that just because Jesus said it. They'd believe it in spite of everything in the world. A serious-minded Christian will. But why then, if we'd believe that, if we could see it with the physical eye, then why not believe it as it's written in the Word? And then act on that word as quickly as you would the word of a doctor or a lawyer or a very trusted friend. We act on God's written word. Now, you remember, we've discussed this before. The faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This man presented himself to Jesus. He said, I'll act on your word. Jesus had already given him his will. He said, I'll come and heal him. He said, no, you don't have to come down there. You don't have to do that. You just say the word. I recognize that what's wrong with him is a slave to your word. You say it, and that thing will leave. That thing will leave him if you say the word.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's take another incident of this. I want you to really see into this. Let's look over in Luke's gospel. Let's take a look at the 17th chapter of Luke, something that I want you to see. The 11th verse. It came to pass as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So let's get the picture of this now. He's moving from one area to the other. Jesus is ministering. He's out in the field. That's one thing about Jesus. He stayed practically all together in the field ministry. He was out where the people were all the time. And he's going now from one town to the other, from Samaria to Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Okay, here's this bunch of guys standing out here. And they have said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," said they stood afar off. Well, certainly they stood afar off. They had leprosy. They weren't allowed to do anything else. Okay, now remember that, because it's important to what Jesus is fixing to say. "And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourself to the priest.'" Well, now how could they do that? They're not allowed to even go into that town down there, much less go into the middle of it in there where all that congregation of people in and out that temple was. There's all kinds of people in there every day to pray and all these different kinds of things. All kinds of multitude of people around there where that priest was. Jesus has told these men to do something that's physically impossible to do. Isn't that right? They've got leprosy. They can't go do that. Well, now you see, if these men had only believed what they could see, what they could feel, they knew good and well they had leprosy. They were sick men and they knew it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have hollered out and said, "Master, have mercy on us." They're crying out to God to do something about the situation, right? Jesus has said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Well, now, in most cases, if they had been like most people, particularly people today, and they faced this same situation, they would have said, "What's the matter with him? Don't he know we're sick? We can't go down there and do that. We got this leprosy on us, man. We can't go." And some of them hollered back and said, "Jesus, you must have misunderstood. We can't go over there. We have the leprosy. See? See here? I have it. See, this is evidence of it." But now that's not what they did. Let's find out how they reacted and responded to what he said. In the 14th verse, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Thank God. As they acted on what he said. See, they didn't wait and see if the thing left before they did anything. In fact, every one of them, when they started toward that priest, now every one of those men knew that there wasn't any way they was going to let them in there. Every one of those men knew there was no possible way that any of them were probably even physically strong enough to make it to Jerusalem, much less get inside that city and get in there where that priest was. Amen. Isn't that right? That's right. All right. But nonetheless, they all moved out in that direction. And the word says, as they went, they were cleansed. They didn't get cleansed and then went. That's not too good English, but you see what I'm saying, don't you? Huh? As they went, they were cleansed. There was enough authority in the words of the Son of God that when those men acted on it, God caused it to come to pass. But now let me tell you something. Jesus could have stood there and talked all afternoon long if those men hadn't acted on it. It never would have become a manifestation in their life. Now, there's a lot of people say, "Well, now, if God will heal today, or if God answers prayer today, why doesn't he heal me?" Well, that's pretty readily apparent. You don't believe his word. You call him a liar every time you make that statement. I've had men say to me, "Well, we don't believe in that healing." Well, don't worry about it. You won't be bothered with it. These signs follow those that believe, thank God. You see, they never had followed an unbeliever. Even back then, when this was all going on, it didn't work back then for the unbeliever, because Jesus went down, you know, to his hometown in Nazareth, and the Word says very clearly that there he could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. So you see, it wasn't Jesus just slinging healing around. It was God on the move. He put out his word that it was so, and every man that would act on it would receive. For instance, the man at the pool of Bethesda, You remember that? When Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, he first came up there and said, wilt thou be made whole? Well, now that sounds like kind of silly something to ask a sick man. He was not asking this man, would you like to be well? That's not the question at all. He said, would you be made whole? Will you cooperate with me in this thing? Will you allow me to minister to you? Now, God has never imposed His will upon anybody, including Satan. If He's going to kick anybody around, it looked to me like it ought to have been the devil. Amen. But did you know He didn't? He didn't do it. Thank God He's always moved in love. Now, He beat Satan, but He beat him at His own game. He took him at Calvary. Through death, he beat him. Thank God he beat him in his own game. Isn't that great? So consequently, we can act on God's word and bring it to pass regardless of what it is, whether the devil likes it or whether he doesn't. Because it's none of his business. He's been whipped. But now if you won't act on it, you'll be in the same position. See, Jesus has said, will you allow me to minister to you? Will you be made whole? And the man immediately, he misunderstood what he was saying, and he immediately said, I don't have any man to put me in that pool over there. I don't have anybody to help me. Jesus said, now listen to what he said, take up your bed and walk. Well, now what do you suppose would have happened if the man had said, man, I can't, I'm crippled. We don't believe in that healing. He just lay deadly rotted on that thing. Isn't that right? There wasn't any way in the world. But what does the Bible say that he did? He took up his bed and walked. And you know it made them religious guys mad. It will every time. What I'm saying tonight will make a bunch of religious folks mad. But I can't help it, folks. It's the Word of God. That's the way these people got results, see? That's the way they got results. So it looked like, man, looks to me like if a fella's got half sense, if these guys got results that way, looks like we ought to, doesn't it, you? I mean, we've got the same thing that he said, just the same as they do. It's just as sovereign today as it was back there years ago when God said, let there be light. Well, light's still working because of it. Hey, he doesn't have to get up at 3:30 in the morning and say that again every day, you know. The whole universe is still operating under the blow of let there be light. There's the same God that has said over and over, for instance, Matthew 8:17, himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our diseases. By his stripes you were healed. But see, if a man will act on that, it'll get results. Amen. Say, yes, but I'm still sick. Well, that's what I've been trying to tell you. You see, you're acting on what you feel. You're acting on what you see. The lepers could have done that. They could have acted on what they saw and passed up the power of God. Now, I'll tell you a man that did that. Do you remember when Peter and John walked through the beautiful gate in the 3rd chapter of Acts? And there was a man out there that had been laid there, the Bible said, for a long time. A lot of years he'd been laid there at that gate. Look that up, Joe. I want you to read that. Acts, the 3rd chapter, the 3 or 4 verses there. He had been there. Now see, this situation in the book of Acts here, when Peter and John are walking through this gate, this situation is only several days, just a few days from the day of Pentecost, which was only just a little more than a month after the crucifixion, which could only have been just a very little more than a month, since Jesus preached right there in that temple. It hadn't been long since he passed right by that guy laying there at that gate while people pitched palm leaves before him and shouted, Hosanna to the King, and all that. And this guy sat right there at that gate with those weak ankles that wouldn't hold him. Jesus passed him. How many times do you suppose Jesus preached right there in those streets? How many times do you suppose people received from God right there with that guy sitting in the shadow of it all? And he sat there crippled. He sat there through that whole thing. Jonah, read that from Acts chapter 3. Read the 3 or 4 verses there where it tells how he was put there.
Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple.
They put him there every day, didn't they?
Sure did.
Okay, go ahead.
Which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, Look upon us. And he gave heed to them exceedingly to receive, or expecting to receive something of them.
All right, now notice what he did. They started through there. And this beggar is so completely wrapped up and engrossed in his little 4x4 square. He spent his life, man, sitting there in that little square spot, begging off those people. And I can tell you right now why he picked that spot at that temple. That's where all the religious folks go, and they're an easy touch. Now, that's just exactly why he was sitting there. He didn't go down to that temple to try to get anything from God. He went down there to get it off those people who walked through the door. Now, you can see that in that guy's life, can't you? All right. Jesus ministered all the way around him. It didn't affect him at all. But Peter walks up there, and the guy, evidently, the guy raises his hand, you know, like this, dumps his head. This is the way the thing looks to me when I read it. He raises his hand, you know, asking an alms here. Peter grabs the guy by the hand and said, Look here. And for the first time in this guy's life, he looks up expecting to receive something. Now, he's got an air of expectancy in him. He's ready to do something, but I don't think the man had any idea he's fixing to get what he got. He just wondered, how would you feel if you had your head down, you're begging, and some big fisherman grabbed you by the hand and said, Look here. You know, I mean, man, you'd look up too. But then he said, In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, there had to be some response from the man. Now, he gave a pull on that man, but there had to be some response on the man's part. He could have jerked his arm back down and said, I can't, I'm crippled. I'll tell you what I have seen. I have prayed for people. In fact, I prayed for a person one night that was sick in a meeting I was conducting, and they came up there in the prayer line, and I laid hands on them, prayed for them, the power of God had come all over them. Power of God was all over that person. They stepped back about two steps, and shook their head right there in that spot and said, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. There have been incidences that I've had happen to me where I'd pray, and there was physical evidence of people receiving healing. And they'd back off later and said, No, I can't believe that. And the thing would come right back on them. Well, God didn't put it on them. He wasn't the one who put it on them in the first place. Amen. See, it's the devil. They moved back over in that area of unbelief. So what we need to know and what we need to make so important to our thinking is to act on God's Word instead of what we feel, what we see, or the circumstances around us. I'm not moved by what I feel or what I see. Moved only by what I believe.
What a phenomenal teaching. Did you hear what he said though? Act on God's word instead of what you feel or see. Don't be moved by the circumstances around you. Be moved only by what you believe. I want to take that statement and just tie it back into what he preached, where he started, Matthew chapter 8. And I just want to read this one verse, verse 7. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Jesus said that to the centurion, and he's saying that to you today. He will come and heal you. So act only on what you believe. Do you believe what Jesus said? Do you think that Jesus would lie? Do you think he was lying to the centurion? Of course not. Of course not. Do you think that he would lie to you? Of course not. And if he did it for him, he'll do it for you because he's no respecter of persons. So this morning, if there's anything in your body that needs healing, believe the words of Jesus. I will come and heal you. So whatever it is that's going on in your body, just put your hand on it right now. Whatever it is, wherever it is, if it's in your mind, if it's thoughts that are tormenting you, if it's in your physical body, if it's a pain, maybe you need to get up out of a wheelchair and walk. Maybe you need to grow new teeth. Whatever it is, just put your hand right now in that area. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith, and I want you to take it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you're healing your people. God, you want us well. You want us healed and whole. And every sickness and disease is from the devil. So, Father, this morning, I thank you that your people are redeemed from the curse. The blessing of God is on us, and we are a healthy body of Christ. We take on the nature of the body of Christ. We bear the image of Jesus himself. And if Jesus is walking, we're walking. If Jesus is whole, we're whole. And if Jesus has sound mind, we have sound mind. Lord, we receive that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I love going back and watching those teachings from Brother Copeland. They're so rich, and it's almost like you get to go back and get a nugget that you wouldn't have normally got. I was not born when that program was first produced and first aired, but I get to go back and look at that. And that's the operation of the scripture that I gave you right before we watched the program, that one generation will praise your name, declare your works, declare your goodness, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, to another generation. That's the beauty of what God has given us in this time through the medium of technology. We can go back and see where it all began and apply that type of faith to what we're dealing with right now. Same word, same author and finisher of our faith, just a different generation. And we are the generation to take it to the next generation.